The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Parashas HaYisora begins Vayihi HaYisora Mea Shona Vesrim Shona Vesheva Shonim Shnei HaYisora. Sora was 127 years old. Thomas Sora beKiris Arba, he Hebron Beretz Canaan, and Sora died in Kiris Arba, which is Hebron, and Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Vayove Avraham lispeid leSora lifkeso, and Avraham came to be maspid her. Maspid means to eulogize and to weep for her. And then it states that Vayokam Avraham got up. And he started to negotiate with the Bnei Ches to buy a piece of land, Tenuli Achuzas Keveri Mochem, sell to me a section of your land, that I may bury my dead before me. And then the Torah continues how he bought the Stei Machpelah. It was a field which had a cave, and that cave is called the Cave of Machpelah, Moras Machpelah. And there he buried Sora. Now here, three things are mentioned in this parsha that we just read. Firstly, Hespid, that he came to be Maspid, her, to eulogize her. Bechiyah, he came to weep for her. Ukfura, and to bury. Let's go into these three things a little more. Firstly, kfura, to bury. Here we see that Avraham buried Sora bekarka, in the ground, in the cave. We see this also, I believe this is the first time, if I'm not mistaken, this might be the first time that it's mentioned in the Torah, the burial. At the end of the parsha, we have another kfura. It states, "Vayikbaro Isai Yitzchok Yishmael Bonav El Moras Machpelah," that Yitzchok and Yishmael, the sons of Avraham, buried Avraham in the same place. And we see this by all of the Ovesinimos, that they were all buried, Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and Sora, Rivka, Rochav, Leah. They were all buried in the Moras Machpelah, with the exception of Rochel. But by Rochel it states that B'derech Efros, he Beis Lochem. She was buried on the way to Efros, which is Beis Lechem. At the end of the Sefer Torah, we find that Moshe was buried. It states by Yikbor Isai Bagai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe Rabbeinu. And so do we find this by all of the tzaddikim, by all of the personalities and the righteous, mentioned many, many times in the Chumash and in the Tanakh. The source for this mitzvah, that we must bury someone, there are two sources. One source we have in Parshas Kisetze, where it states by Haruge Bezdin that those people that committed crimes which bring them to the make them liable for the capital punishment of Bezdin. There it states that when you hang someone, Lesolin Ivlose ala Eitz, it's right near the beginning of Kisetze, do not leave him hanging on the tree, Kikovesik Berenab Yemahu, but you should bury him that day, Kikilalas Elekim Tolui. Otherwise it will be a disgrace to Hashem, because man is created in the image of Hashem, the Almighty. So there, actually the Gemara learns out from there a mitzvah essay and a mitzvah leisa, a positive command, but that you should bury him on that day, and a negative commandment, leisolin, that you are not allowed to leave him, remain hanging. The Gemara learns this to be a mitzvah not only on Haruge Bezdin, those that were killed by Bezdin, but on everyone. And then we have the Gemara, second source that the Gemara brings at the end of the first chapter, first perek in Seita, which we've quoted several times recently, but not in in regards to this particular din, and Daf Yud Daled. There is a mitzvah, a say, a positive commandment, acharei Hashem elokechem teilechu, that you should follow in the ways of Hashem. The Gemara says, what does it mean that you should follow, you should walk in the ways of Hashem? Ela lahalech achar midesav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the good things that he does, we should do, aside from what he instructs us to do, like matzah or sukkah or tefillin. But also we should examine the good things he does, and even though he has not instructed us to do, we should do. We should emulate him. So the Gemara says, Mahu, whatever he does, afato, we should do. So amongst the mitzvahs mentioned there is Vayikvor Mahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kovar Mesim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has buried the dead. The Ksiva Yikvor Esei Bagoy, it brings from Mesha that there HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself buried him. So afato Kivor Mesim, so therefore it's a mitzvah on you, besides the mitzvah we mentioned before, but of Acharei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, that you should walk in his ways, that you also should bury the dead. The Gemara in Mesechta Sanhedrin, Perek Nigmar Adin, and Daf Mem Vav Amud Beis, and Mem Zayin, the Gemara brings that one is obligated to bury on the day of the death, like we mentioned, because leisolin, you shall not keep him back from being buried. But if you're meilin lichvede, that if you delay the burial for his honor, then it's permissible. And the Gemara brings from the Braisho, heilin lichvede lohavi le'orim v'tachrichin eina everalov. For example, if they delay the burial because they have to make an oren, a coffin, or tachrichin, the shrouds which he is buried in, and because of this they delayed the burial, then it's all right, because this is lichvede shel meis, this is in honor of the meis, and the Torah only forbade leisolin nivlosi ala eitz dumi de toli de isbe bizoin. The Torah only forbade delaying the burial because of a disgrace to him, like over there where it's speaking, where the bezdin would hang someone and they won't bring him down to bury him. But if you're meilin lichvedoi, then it's all right. And then the Gemara brings further, for example, l'shama olav ayoris, in order that people can come together to give him the last respects, the last kovod, and the news has to, takes time for the news to get out, and it takes time for people to be able to come. Or l'havi lai mikenenas, Mekenonis, or they, in those days there used to be people that were experts in saying hespedim, in eulogies, and they were hired, and they knew how to evoke everyone's emotions. So it was the custom that they used to hire people for this. So many times they had to wait till they would come. Because all of this is in honor of the mace, of the dead person, and therefore it's muta. The fact is, the Gemara brings from our psukim, because it states that Abraham delayed the burial of Sarah, or the family did. How do we know? Because it states by Yove Abraham. Abraham came He came. Where did he come from? Evidently, he wasn't there at the time she died. So Rashi in Sanhedrin says that he came from the Akedah. He was busy with the Akedah Shitzchok, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him to go to Haram Oriyah, which was in Yerushalayim, to sacrifice Yitzchok. So the Gemara asks, when Sarah died, why did they wait for Avraham? The family should have buried her immediately and not wait for Avraham to come. So we see they waited in order that Avraham should be there and in order that Avraham should be maspid her. So we see that you are allowed to wait if it's lichveido, if it's in her honor. The Gemara also asks that this mitzvah of burial, what is its purpose? Is its purpose because mishum bezayin hames, that it's a disgrace if you leave someone unburied, so therefore we are commanded to bury someone in order to save him from that disgrace? Or is it mishum kaporas hames? Perhaps it's a kapora. When you put someone back into the earth, that's a kapora. That will be an atonement for him. Like it states in Bereishis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Adam HaRishon, that you came from the earth and you shall return to the earth. You are going back to the source which you came from, which I made you from. So is it because of Bishayin, in order to save the dead person from disgrace? Or is it because of atonement? Moses says, what's the difference? It's as if it's for disgrace, then it's not only his disgrace. It's the disgrace of the family. And some bring it's disgrace for everyone, for Kol Chai, because when a human being dies and he's left to rot, that's a disgrace for Kol Chai. And then everyone has a right to be makbid, everyone has a right to demand a burial. If it's for kapora, if for atonement, then nobody has a right to demand a burial, and he can say, I don't want it, I'm not interested in atonement. So the Gemara says the difference would be if he leaves a tzavor, if he leaves a will and testimony that he doesn't want to be buried. If it's for disgrace of people, then we cannot listen to him. If it's for kapora, then we can. Because ahu gavra le nicha le be kapora, this person doesn't want kapora. The Gemara goes through a sugya. And the Gemara itself doesn't come to a conclusion. But the Rambam Paskins in Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Ovel at the beginning of Perek Yud Beis of Hilchos Ovel im tziva shalei yikfor ein shemin lai. If a person commands, instructs that they should not bury him, you do not listen to him. Because the kfura, the burial, is a mitzvah that we must fulfill under all circumstances. And therefore, he has no right to command not that this mitzvah should not take place. That's a few points in regards to kfura, burial. Now we see there was hespid ubechi, that Avraham also wept for Sarah and he eulogized her. The source that it's a mitzvah to be maspid, to eulogize, and the purpose of the eulogy is in order that people should weep for the departed. The source is from here. This is the source that we have, that Avraham came milispeido, that he eulogize Sarah. And incidentally, from this source itself, we see that when you eulogize someone, there is no difference whether the departed is a man or a woman. This the Rambam brings in Halacha Hey. maspidim anoshim ka anoshim bechol mokom. That when we eulogize, we make no distinction between a woman or a man. And the commentaries bring from various cases in the Shas. Brings from a Gemara, the case of Mishnah brings from a Gemara in Megillah, Rafrim Safta Lekaloseho, that one of the great sages said a eulogy, a public eulogy for his daughter-in-law. And then from a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Rim Gamliel Safta Leimoy Shel Ben Zozo, Hespid Godel, that Rim Gamliel made a great hespid for the mother of a colleague of his. So from here we have the source to that halacha also. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin also asks that this, that there's a mitzvah to be maspid, to eulogize. Is this for the kovid, yekored de shichve, or yekored de chaye? Is this for the honor of the family, or is it the honor of the departed? Because when you eulogize, you are both paying tribute to the departed, and you are also paying tribute, it's a great honor, to the family. So what is the purpose of the mitzvah of hespit? What would be the difference? So one difference, the Gemara says, Doma le tispidu alahu gavro, if he instructs that he doesn't want any hespedim. Man leaves over, tells his children, or he writes in his will, do not be masping me. I want no eulogies whatsoever. Must we listen or must we not? Morris says, if it's for his covet, the person has a right to waive, can waive his covet. If it's for the covet of the family, then he has no right to waive it. Another difference, the Gemara says, if he doesn't leave over any instructions, so then we must be maspid him. This is the mitzvah. But let's say that it costs money. Why should it cost money? That, as we mentioned before, that was their custom. Morris says it's an art to be able to be maspid someone kiroi, to be maspid, to eulogize someone properly. So they used to hire, there used to be people that would come in to be maspid. They used to pay them. So now let's say that these children don't want to pay. They don't want to put up the money. So if it's for their COVID, family's COVID, they can say, we waive it. We don't want to pay and we're not interested in the COVID. If it's for the father's COVID, then they have to pay. See? So that's a second difference. To lafuke miyorshin, the Gemara brings, the Gemara's conclusion is yekored de shichve, that hespid is, the main part of the hespid is not for the honor of the family, but for the honor of the departed. And therefore the Rambam brings in Ha'alocha Aleph in Perek Yud Beis Ha'alocha Aleph, a hespid kovar amesu, eulogy is for the honor of the dead. The ficha keifin as a yoshin litein schar mikeninim u mikeninos. You can force the heirs to put up whatever necessary money is required for the hespid, because it's not for their honor that they can waive, but it's for the honor of the dead. The safety neshai, and they must beat him. Vim siva shalei yisbeduhu, if he left over, if he instructed before he died that he does not want any hespedim, then ain safety neshai. Then you are not must him, because since it's for his covet, he has a right to waive it. Now the Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Kufei Amud Beis, the Gemara brings that to eulogize and to weep for another Jew, especially if he's a good Jew, it's a great mitzvah. And not only that, but it's an aveira, a great aveira, when someone dies and he is not nispedu kerei, he is not eulogized properly, or he is not wept for properly. What it says in Perikot Oreg. Kolabei halodim kosher, meichlin le al kolaven eso, vishvil kovich osu. Whoever weeps for an odim kosher. What's an odim kosher? That's a person who, an upright person, a shemer etero mitzvah, a person that during his lifetime he believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he believed in his Torah, and he kept his Torah, and he kept his mitzvahs. This is an odim kosher. Even though he wasn't a Talmud Chochem. Talmud Chochem, he's referred to as a Chochem, someone who's very wise in the Torah. But an odim kosher is someone who wasn't necessarily a Talmud Chochem, but an upright person in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah. So when an odim kosher, a type of person like that, leaves the world, then kol habeicha, whoever weeps for him, meichlin le'al kol haman yisov bishvil kovet she'osei. People who weep for him, this is a great kovet, like we said that the hespid is for his kovet. A person leaves the world and it makes no difference to anybody else. Or people just take it as a matter of fact. So this is a total lack of honor. But when people weep and you see that it means something to them, this is a great honor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives that person's sins because of this kovet. The Gemara brings another case. Omar Ibshimin ben Pazior Mishua ben Levi Mishumba Kapor. Kolameri Dimois al Odim Kosher. Whoever weeps tears for an Odim Kosher that departs, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seferon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu counts them, Umeinichen bebeis Genozov. And he conceals them. He puts them away in his treasure, in his storehouse, in his treasure house. The tears are very dear to Hashem, and he puts them away. Now the Gemara brings that even on an odim she'ena kosher, a person who is not an odim kosher, that's a person who is not a good Jew. He did many averas during his lifetime. It says even on him, the Gemara brings that the dekoy b'shash yetzias neshama chiyuvim mechayve, that if he is standing, if a person is present when that type of person dies, he's present at the actual death, chayv likraya, he has to rent his garments. See, we all know there's a mitzvah of kriya. That means when one of the close relatives of a person that he's obligated to mourn for dies, you must rent your garment. But there's another halacha, that if you are present when any Jew dies, you must rent your garment. If you're present at the misa, at the death, except that it's brought b'shulei begodav, you can rent your garment at the bottom of your garments. You don't have to rent it like for a close relative where you rent it at the top. But the Gemara says that's even for an Odom Shena Kosher. I don't know if it's referring to an atheist, someone who's that far, but it's referring to a Jew that did many Avedas during his life, so therefore he's not considered an Odom Kosher. You're still obligated. The Gemara says why? It says because Deimel Sefer Teira Shenisrafa, because this is the halacha by a Sefer Teira, that if, heaven forbid, a person is present when he sees a Sefer Teira burning, then he has to rent his garment. So therefore, the same thing over here. Now what is the comparison between an Odom She'ena Kosher and a Sefer Teira Shenisrav? So Rashi brings, Af nish mas Yisrael anitelis deimele she'emele. An Hashem of Yisrael that's taken from this world is like a Sefer Teira that is taken from this world. And just like a Sefer Torah that's burnt, you must rent your garment if you see it. The same thing, if you see a neshama leave this world, you have to rent your garment. But we said he's an Odom Shein Kosher. Shein loch reik bi Yisrael, shein beteiru mitzvahs. Because you won't find a reik as an empty person. You won't find an empty Jew who still doesn't have a lot of Torah mitzvahs in him. There's another Gemara that states, afilu p'chusin shebehem, melea teiru Malaya mitzvahs kerima. That even the simplest of the Jews, the emptiest of the Jews, are still full of mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is full of seeds. Pomegranate is full of seeds. Actually, I once heard, I think it's a medrash, but I've never seen it. But they say why do they compare it to a pomegranate? Because they say a pomegranate has 613 seeds. But at any rate, a pomegranate is full of seeds. So I feel a pusin shabahem mole mitzvahs kariman. Even the most simplest Jew is full of mitzvahs during the course of his life, like a pomegranate. I once saw from one great gaon where he writes that stam mitzvah stoko, eli stoko. So therefore, again, I don't know if we're referring to a kafir, though, an atheist, someone who's not a maimin, not a believer. We're talking about a believer, except he did a lot of averus. So by him, it's like a sefer teresh and israf. The Maral in the Guraye, in another place, adds, not only from the fact that he has mitzvahs in him, therefore he is to be compared to a sefer Torah, but also he has the potential to do more mitzvahs. And therefore, it's a great loss when he dies. So we have two levels then. Here we have the Odom She'ena Kosher. And then that he, you're supposed to rent your garment if you're present when he dies. And then you have the Odom Kosher. The Odom Kosher is a tzaddik. He certainly, you have to rent your garment, but even more, on this person it states that if you weep for him, and you maspid him, and you eulogize him, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives your sins, and he counts your tears and conceals them. Now, the Maral in his Agodas, and is in Nesiv Gemilas Hasodim, he adds to this. And he says, why is this? We have to, sometimes it's difficult for us to understand because perhaps we don't understand what life is. The greatest gift that was ever given to this world was the life of the human being. There is nothing greater. The human being is even greater than the entire creation of the world. Unfortunately, by the nations of the world, if something would happen to the resources of the world, or to the oceans of the world, or to the moon, it would be a calamity, which is true. But in the meantime, every day throughout the world, thousands and thousands, or tens of thousands, or who knows if not hundreds of thousands of people can be killed or could die for unnecessary reasons, and this doesn't bother the nations of the world. See, life means nothing to them. Sages tell us just the opposite. The whole purpose of the creation was for man, and therefore the whole creation is a dover cotton. It's very, very small when it's compared to the gigantic creation of man. And what is the gigantic creation of man? Ki b'tzelem elokim. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created him in his own image. His own image. Someone once said that the world kept silent when Hitler was busy destroying 6 million Jews. Let a ship full of cats and dogs be stuck out in the middle of the sea, and you'll see the tumult the world will make. I'm trying to save them. And this gift is a gift every minute. A person has to be cognizant that every minute that he's alive, he has in his possession the greatest gift given to the world, which is greater even than the creation. Chayev Odom Leimar Shahakol Nivra Bishvili.
Man is obligated to see, say that the whole creation was created for him, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is what I created the world for. Now, this is why it's brought that at the Mabul, at the flood, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to destroy man, he destroyed everything else in the world also. Because he says, if I don't have man, what do I need the world for? So every minute of a person's life, he's in possession of the greatest gift which is given to man. And he must be very careful with it. He has to use every minute of his life. He has to use it purposefully. Certainly not waste his life or harm his days in any way. Now, this is an enormous gift and a light which came to the world. Every soul which came into the world is an Or Godel, is a great light. And therefore when it departs, there's a great loss to the world. It's a loss to that individual and a loss to the world. It's certainly a loss to the family and to the entire world. Even we say afilu reikim, when it comes to a Jew, even an odem she'ein kosher, see, a Jew who's not an upright Jew, is still similar to a sefer Torah, that he still has many mitzvahs. So how much more so an odem kosher, an upright Jew? And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu says yokar be'enei mosel lechasidov. But he says, Yoke b'enei Hashem amosel chasidov, that it is very dear to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when one of his righteous die. And also it states that when his righteous die, this comes from he himself. He does not give this over to any malach, to any angel, to the malach hamovis, to the angel of death. He himself does it. Because this is how close to Hashem it is. And it states that that soul will be tzrura b'tzrora chayim. That soul HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes right up to himself, very close. So therefore, those who are mishtativ, those who participate, and those who are meri dimos, they weep. And they give kovet, they give honor. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes those tears, and he counts them, and he puts them high up into his secret storehouses. Then there's a third level, and that's a chochem. What happens if a person is a Talmud chochem, right? A person who's not only an orem kosher, but is wise in the Torah? And that the Gemara says, Omer Yehuda, Omer Rav, kol misatzel behespedel shel chochem. If people are lackadaisical when it comes to eulogizing a chochem, Reila kevra b'chayim, then that person is befit where he himself should be buried alive, the Gemara brings. And it goes for a drosha, because in the Gemara learns this out from Yeshua. And by Yeshua was leinispid akeroi. They did not eulogize him keroi. And later on we see, like the mountains wanted to cave in on Klal Yisrael, that they were almost buried alive for it. And then the Gemara brings another case. It states, "Kol misatzel be'spedishel chochem ein amayrich yomim." Whoever is lackadaisical about giving the proper honor to a chochem, to a Talmud chochem that dies, then, heaven forbid, his days would be shortened. And the Maral writes, because when a chochem leaves this world, that comes, the source of that is from a very, very high place, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the Midas Hadin, that's the decree of judgment, because something like that can only happen when it comes directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore those who do not give proper honor can be caught also by this decree of judgment. And therefore we must be very, very careful when anyone dies, and especially when a chochem dies. So these are a few words in regards to Hesped. Even though we must be very, very careful to fulfill these mitzvahs properly, but still there's a shir, there's a maximum to them. The Gemara brings, and the Rambam brings it in Perek Yud Gimel of Hilchos Ovel, Halacha Yud and Halacha Yud Aleph. Ein bechin ala meis yesem ishlesh yomim, that we are not to weep for a person for more than 3 days. It's a mitzvah bechi to weep, but 3 days, not more. Ein maspidin yesem ishivo, even though it's a great mitzvah of hespid, but not more than 7 days. Bamedvorim amurim b'shara am. This is when we're referring to the rest of the nation. This is when referring to an Odom Shena Kosher or an Odom Kosher. Okay. We must weep for 3 days and eulogize for 7 days. Aval tamidei chachomim. But if the person is a Talmud Chochom, then hakol lefi chochmosim. Then it's all in accordance to his chochma. If he has quite a bit of wisdom, then we can weep further and we can eulogize further. If he's a great chochom, then we must weep even further and eulogize further, because the loss is an enormous loss of light to the world. But still there's a shir. Ein bechin alem yesem ishleishim yon. But not more. The bechia, the weeping, must not be for more than 30 days. How do we know? Shein lono godel mimesha rabbeinu. Uksiva itamu yemei bechi evil mesha. Because there was no one that was wiser than Mesha. And by Mesha rabbeinu it states, vayivka asavam shleishim yon, that they wept for him 30 days, and after that they stopped. So we see, no matter how great the person is, we must not weep more than 30 days. But eulogize, that we can do. So, but what's the maximum? The maximum, though, is 12 months. How do we know this? Because we had no one that we have records that they were a maspid who was greater than Rabbeinu HaKodesh and Yehuda Nosi. This was the Tano of the Mishnah that recorded the Mishnah, and they were Ushnei Moser Chedish Belvad Nispot, and they eulogized him for only 12 months. So therefore, that by for everyone, the weeping should be 3 days. That's all. And the hesped, 7 days. For a chochom, it can be more. But the weeping should not be for more than 30 days, and the hesped should not be for more than 12 months. V'chein chochom shebosh mosa la'achishne mosa chedish ain safety, they say. And also a similar halacha is what happens if we hear news that a chochom died, but the news reaches us only 12 months after he died. Also ain't safety, they say. Then we do not eulogize him. Then in general, the Rambam says that even though it's a great mitzvah to weep and to mourn and to eulogize, al yiskash odem amesi yesh medai, but also there's a limit. A person is supposed to be upset, heaven forbid, when he loses someone. But still, he cannot go overboard. Shenemar al tivkul meis val tanudu lei. As Shlema Melech said, "Klema yes midai, shezel minogei shaleilu." Do not weep more than is the norm. Why? Because this is a fact of life. This is minogei shaleilam. This is the chok, the statute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed into the world, that people must die, and they must die when he determines they should die. And someone who causes himself anguish on something which is a fact of life like this more than necessary, then he is a fool. Eleketzad yase. So therefore, what is the proper way? Shleish lebechi, 3 days for weeping. Shiva lehespid, 7 days for hespid. Shleishim yom letasporis ulashara chamisha dvorim, and 30 days for the other halachas, the other laws of mourning. For example, we don't cut our hair, and so forth. So the here we have what we must do and what we must not do in regards to the mitzvah of bechi and of hespid. At the end of the sedra, of our sedra in Chai Sora, we have that where Avraham died, it states, Vayhi, this is on Posuk Yud Aleph at the end of the sedra, Vayhi Achrei Meis Avraham. After the death of Avraham, Vayivorech Elokim Es Yitzchok Benoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and blessed Yitzchok. Now what does that mean? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to Yitzchok after the death of Avraham and blessed him? So Rashi brings Nichamu Tanchumi Aveilim. He blessed him with a brocha of Nichum Aveilim, of comforting the mourners. Yitzchok was an Ovel. Avraham had died, so he was sitting Shiva. The mitzvah of Shiva Shemei Avelu, 7 days of Avelus, and then also 30 days, and then the Yud Beis Chodesh, 12 months. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came Levorach Yisrael, to bless him. What did he bless him with? Tanchumi Avelim. He blessed him with the blessings of comfort for the mourners. Rashi brings this from the Gemara and Seita. The Gemara and Seita, what we quoted before, rings here. It says, Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu, that you shall walk in the ways of the Almighty. Mahu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nicham Avelim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts the mourners. As it states, Vayhi Achrei Meis Avraham Vayivorech Elokim Es Yitzchok Benai. After the death of Avraham, Hashem blessed Yitzchok. So Afato Nichem Nachem Avelim. So you also, therefore, should go and comfort mourners. So from here now we have another mitzvah. Besides the mitzvahs that we mentioned before of kfura, of burial, or hespid, or of bechi, we have another mitzvah, related mitzvah, in this parsha, but not from Avraham and Sora, but from Yitzchok and Avraham, of Nichum Avelim. It's a mitzvah that you should go and be Menachem de Avelim, and the source we have is Achrei Hashem Elokechem Telechu, because this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. The Rambam brings in Perek Yud Dalet Halacha Zayin, he says, Yeiro Eli, see, this that we comfort the mourners, for whose, what is its purpose? Who are we giving honor to? Are we giving honor to the mourners, family, or are we giving honor to the departed? Because it's both ways. First of all, you're giving honor and comfort to the mourners. Secondly, the more comes, the more that come, so the greater is the name of the departed. So the Rambam says, Yiroi Eli. Now this, he says, Yiroi Eli means, generally, what the Rambam, when the Rambam says something, he brings proofs from the, he's building this on sources in the Gemara. But here he's not. Here, this is his own opinion. He has no source for it. This is his opinion now. Yirali she nechomas aveilim kedem lebika chelim. That if a person has two mitzvahs in front of him, one is nichum aveilim, to comfort the mourner, and the other is bika chelim, to visit the sick. And he can only do one. Which one should he do? So the Rambam says that his opinion is that he should first take care of the mitzvah of the Avelim, of the mourners. Why? Shenichum Avelim gemilas chesed imachayim v'imamesim. Because Nichum Avelim is a gemilas chesed, it's a loving kindness, both for the living and the dead, while Bikachelim is only for the living. So the Rambam holds that when you come to comfort the mourners, you are fulfilling two chesed. You are doing chesed with the chayim. You're comforting and giving honor to the family. And you are also doing chesed imam esim. You are bringing honor to the departed. So it's a double mitzvah.
Therefore, if this conflicts with a mitzvah such as bikachelim, another chesed, we spoke about it on Shabbos, bikachelim, that was in last week's Shabbat, that is a chesed for the chayim, for the living, then the other one, the nichum avelim, takes precedence. This is what the Rambam writes. So from here we have an insight into what nichum avelim is for. It's both for the chayim and the meishim. Incidentally, the Radvaz asks Akasha. He says that if the Rambam didn't write this, he would say just the opposite. He would say bikachelim comes first. Because on Shabbos we quoted the Gemara in the Dorim. The Rebbe Kiva said, "Kol mishein avakas achelim kilu shefek domin." If you don't visit, we said bikachelim is not merely visiting the sick. Bikachelim is to investigate the needs of the sick. And if you don't investigate the needs of the sick and care for him, so it can come to spilling blood. This is what the Gemara says. So therefore, bikachelim should take precedence. Eh? This is what the Radvaz asks. But everybody would agree, though, that we're speaking, at least where we know, that someone else is taking care of the sick and there's not a possibility of danger to him. Because if the sick person, no one is taking care of him and there's a possibility of danger, then that's pikuach nefoshes. When it comes to a danger to life, that's deicha kol ha'teira kula. That takes precedence over all of the mitzvahs, with the exception of three. The Rambam writes in Perek Yud Gimel Halacha Aleph Beis Gimel, Ketzer menach min mesa avelim. How should you fulfill this mitzvah? Achi shekevrin esameis. After they would bury the dead, miskapsino avelim, ve'aimdim betzad beis hakforos. And all of the mourners would come together in a group and they would stand on the side of the cemetery. V'chol ha'melavin esameis, aimdim sovim lehen shura lifnei shura. And those that came to escort the dead person, they would stand around him, one line after another. And ha'avelim aimdim lishmol, ha'menachmin, and the mourners would stand to the left. V'chol ha'menachmin bo'i neitzol ha'avelim echod echod. And all of the people that would come now to comfort him would approach the mourners one at a time. The aimrim lahem, lahen, and they would say to them, tinochumu mina shomayim. Tinochumu mina shomayim, that akkodesh, from heaven shall come your comfort. Heaven should comfort you. See, so that's similar to what we do. It's changed a bit, the different customs. But the main thing is that the nichum avelim was a mitzvah only after the kfura. It's brought that you're not supposed to. There's no mitzvah of nichum avelim, to comfort someone before the kfura, because odem bol on they say, because then he's too satumled. He's got too much on his mind, and he's not interested in being comforted. But after the kfura, after the burial, then it's a mitzvah immediately to go and be menachem. So right at the cemetery, everyone would walk up to the mourners, one at a time, and they would say, "Tenochuma mina shomayim," your comfort shall come from heaven, or something similar to that. Achakach heilecha over lebeisoy. Then the mourners would go home. B'chol yem v'yem yishiv shemei avelis boin b'nei adam nachmai. And every day from the 7 days of mourning, then people would come to comfort. Ein amanach min reshay leishiv elagabi nashim v'yev. Ein reshayin leimed dover at sheyiftach ha'ovel piv tchila. Now, it is the derech eretz and the etiquette that when you come to be menachem, you should not force conversation on the ovel. Fact is, you shouldn't say anything until the ovel, until the mourner starts talking. Why is this? Because the whole purpose that you're coming is for his sake, not for your sake. Oh, we said it's also for the sake of the departed, but for his sake, though, you're coming to comfort him. So therefore, you have to comfort him. You have to do something that will be pleasant for him. And the Gemara tells us that an Ovel, especially the first 3 days, he generally does not want to talk. states that one of the reasons why we asudas avelus, the suda that a novel eats on the first day, is beitzim, eggs or beans, is because they are round. It's about two reasons. And it represents a cycle that death is the great equalizer. Nobody is free of it. It goes around in totality. So the same thing as something which is round. And secondly, ein lepeah, it has no mouth. An egg doesn't have a mouth, or a bean doesn't have a mouth. There's no opening. And an oval doesn't have a mouth, which means vayidaim. When a person suffers a great loss, vayidaim, at the beginning he likes to be silent. So therefore, you have no right to force a conversation on him. So therefore, it is the derecherets that you come and you sit and you wait for him to talk. Unless you feel that he wants to talk, but somehow he's shy to talk. Sometimes a great person comes to him and he wants to talk, except he's shy or for some other reason, all right, then you can bring him into a conversation. But if you see that he's sullen and he doesn't want to talk, then you must not force a conversation. This is very important, because many people that will tell you that they wanted to sit and think, and meanwhile people after people came and they hacked him a chinek. They came and they talked with him and talked with him and talked with him, and they didn't want to do that, especially if you talk with him nonsense. See? Many people come to the morning and they talk to him about everything under the sun, and this certainly is not right. It's brought that what should you talk with him? You talk divrei ameis. What does he want to talk about? He wants to talk about the person that he lost. This is what he wants to talk about. This is what he wants to think about. So, and sometimes people come and they start telling them about what's happening in the economy and what's happening in the political situation and what's happening in the soccer and the rugby and so forth. And that's the furthest thing from his mind at this time. And he has to be polite. And many people will tell you that I never had a chance to think things over until after the shiva, until after the crowds went away. So, it's a great mitzvah to come. And it's a covet to the chayim and to the mason, that it must be done properly. Then it also states, Kivan shenanei bereishai, shuvein manachmin reshain leishav etzloi, shele yatrichu yeshem idai. The Rambam brings, once the oval indicates, he makes a rem as an indication with his head, that enough, then you're supposed to go. In other words, don't overimpose yourself. Once he had enough, then you must go. So this is one halacha, which is very, very important. The on the other hand, to the contrary, if you come to him and you talk to him and you see that you're comforting him, see, you're talking about the departed one and you have what to say about him and you can tell him great things about the person, and you bring in a nachas ruach to him and you bring in honor to him because you're telling him about how great this person was or so forth, and you're comforting him and you see he's being comforted, oh, that's something else then. That's the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to bring a nachas ruach, to bring pleasure to him, to bring comfort to him, to lighten his tzar. If sometimes you might see a very extreme case that a person is so broken up, that sometimes maybe the doctor will say, you know, sometimes doctors have to give sedatives. See, maybe then the doctor would say that he's thinking about it too much, get his mind on something else. All right, that's a different story. See, we're not talking about that, but we're talking about the norm. See? So therefore, a person must use his intuition when he comes to be Menachem a person. On the other hand, just to run in and run out, all right, you give COVID, you came, but that itself is not doing that much for the oval itself. If you're capable of bringing comfort to him and bringing a nachas ruach to him and lightening his burden, this is the mitzvah of Nichum Avelim. Now, they had various customs in their days that we don't have today. And the Gemara brings, for example, a made cotton. Made cotton and Afkov Zayin. Afkov Zayin. Chof Zayin, Seif, Omer Aleph, and Omer Beis. Mora says, Tana Rabbonin, B'rishayna hoyom elichin bebeiso ove lashirim bekalte shel kesev shel zov. In the early days, they would send... When they would send, well, firstly, we must first preface this, that the first day of the Avelis, the Ovel is not supposed to eat from his own food. Some say, somebody shine and bring the reason for that was, where we forbade him to eat from his own food in order to force other people to do chesed for him. See, Nichum Avelim is a mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed. See, to do chesed. And in order to force other people to do chesed for him, the Chachomim forbade him to eat from his own food. Then his friends and neighbors will have to come and bring food. So the first day they used to bring food. But it seems that the early custom was, not only the first day, only the first day he wasn't allowed to eat from his own food. That was called the Sudas Havro. But not only the first day, though, did they send food, but all Shiva, all 7 days they would send food to the Ovel, even though the rest of the days he could eat his own. They would send him food. Why would they send him food? Because this was the Birchas Tanchumim. This was the symbol that they wanted to share in his grief, the symbol of Gemilas Chesed, and they wanted to lighten his burden. So it states, B'rishayna hoyim elichin bebeis Ovel ashirim bekal sishel kesev v'shel zov. In the early days, the wealthy used to send lavish food packages. Lavish food packages that were in silver and gold vessels. The poor people never, they had to send in simple baskets. And the anim was misbaishim. It became a shame for the poor. Hiskinu shia kol mevim besalin etzorim shalav rova klupa. Mipnei kfeidin shel anim. They made a takona, the Chachomim decreed, therefore, that everyone must send in simple baskets, not in gold and silver vessels, in order not to disgrace the poor. But Ishaino haya mashkin bebeis ovel ashirim beschuchis levona. There was a mitzvah. See, some of these things we don't find today, but this was the din of the Gemara. There was a mitzvah to drink wine in the house of the ovel. Many, many cups. We'll see in a minute. Many, many cups of wine. So in the early, why? Because the Gemara says, Gemara in Sanhedrin brings, Le Nivra Yain, Elo Bishvil Avelim. That one of the purposes HaKadosh Baruch Hu created wine were for the mourners. Because they'll drink wine, so they'll forget their tzar, they'll forget their anguish. So it's a mitzvah to drink wine in the house of the Ovel. So in the early days, they used to bring to the base of Ovel wine. So the wealthy would bring in Schuchis Lavona. They would bring in white crystal bottles. And the poor would bring in colored bottles. Why? Because, so you couldn't see the wine. Because their quality of wine was not as good as the wealthy. So they would bring in colored bottles. And it came out of busha for the poor. So Hiskinu, that everyone should bring in colored bottles. Incidentally, Ramesh Feinstein Zechet Tzarek Lavrocha, in his Yoredei, I believe it's Chelek Beis, was asked a Shaila, This was the Shaila was asked by a Rebbe, I believe, by Norton Gottel. He says that in America they're sending gifts. He says they're starting to send gifts to the mourners, and it's brought, you're not allowed to send gifts. States by a mourner, you're not allowed to give shalom. Not allowed to say shalom in the house of the mourner, because ein hashalom shori bekam, because there is no peace there. The Malach HaMoves is there. See? Because there was a great din, so therefore we don't give shalom to the mourner. And even afterwards, even during the 30 days and so forth, you don't give shalom, and you don't send gifts. See? Because it's not a simcha. You come to a chasna, you come to a bar mitzvah, you send a gift. But you come to a Beis HaOvel, you don't send gifts. So this person wrote to the, now in America, he says they have a lot of money and they're copying the ways of the Goyim, and they're sending gifts to the mourner's house. So he wants to know if he should tell these people to send it back, because he says it's Shalei Kedim. So the Meisha writes like this. He says you shouldn't do it, because it's for many hundreds of years that we do not send gifts to the house of the mourner. But he says you should know that Mitzat HaDin, there's nothing wrong with it, because that was the din of the Gemara. And he brings this Gemara. See, brings these Gemaras in Baiskin. He says this is what it states, that you're not allowed to send a gift to a mourner, that's speaking after Shiva, when there's no mitzvah of Nichum Aveling. So and it's referring to a gift of Simcha. Okay? Like you send a wedding gift, or you send a birthday gift, that's a gift of Simcha, that is not proper to send the mourner, because he's not the Simcha. But if the gift is for the purpose of Tanchumin, if the gift is for the purpose of comfort, Zuhi HaMitzvah, that's the mitzvah. This is the mitzvah. Many people, they come into a house of mourner and they don't know why they're coming. Other people tell you 100 things to do. The whole purpose why you come into the house of the mourner, okay, is to comfort him. This is the mitzvah. So if you send beautiful packages of food and wine, this is a sign that you are sharing in his grief and you want to comfort him. So zuya mitzvah, this is the mitzvah. So therefore the Maisha says you don't have to send it back. But he says for some reasons which he doesn't know, he says we haven't had this custom for a few hundred years. So therefore he says maybe one shouldn't do it. But you can't say anything is wrong with it, because this is the din of the Gemara. See, this is what's in the Gemara. The Gemara brings also, while we're here, the Gemara brings another din. It says, but Ishaina, one minute, we'll talk to that in a minute. The Gemara in Ksubas writes as follows, and the Chesam at Beis, interesting Gemara, also a custom that we don't have, but it's the right custom. It was the din of the Gemara. Gemara brings a case where the Rebbe, I believe it was of Reish Lakish's son, the teacher, had a loss in his family, and they came to be menachem him. So there was a person present who was very good at speaking. He was very good at speaking. So they told him, speak. Say something in honor of all of those, of the family, and say something in honor of the departed. And then they told him, say something in honor of the menachemim, of those who are coming, who are gathered here to comfort the mourner. So he says, so he said, he says, my brethren who are Gemlei Chasodim, the sons of Gemlei Chasodim, people that come to be Menachem the Ovel, so they are Gemel Chesed, both with the Chaim and the nation. And they are sons of Gemlei Chasodim. This is what Jews know how to do. And this comes from Avraham Avinu.
And therefore they are upholding the bris, the covenant of Avraham Avinu, because Avraham Avinu was the one who established chesed in the world. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will bring you close and your children, because I know your children will, you'll teach your children la'aseis tzedakah u'mishpat, to do tzedakah u'mishpat. So therefore when a person comes into the house of a mourner, he is coming there to do chesed, to make him feel good and to give him honor. So he said, Achenu bal hagmul yishalim lachem gumulchem, Baruch atom yishalim hagmul. He says, let the bal hagmul, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu pay your reward. He was speaking to all of the people that had come. And he says, blessed is he who will reward you. Then the Gemara comes and says, B'masnishatana asore keses tiknu chachomim bebeso ovel. The chachomim said that 10 cups of wine should be drunk in the house of the mourner, by the mourners. Shleisha kedem achila kedei lifteach es b'nei mayov. So Rashi brings, why were they interested? So he brings laharbes lebishtir kedeksiv tenu sheicha leivid v'yayin lemeri nefesh, because wine lightens the burden of those who are bitter. So therefore they wanted that the Avelim should drink a lot of wine. So they were a mesakin, they made where there should be 10 cups of wine drunk in the house of the Ovel. 3 before they start eating in order to give them an appetite, 3 while they're eating, because wine is good to drink while you eat because it helps with the proper digestion, and then 4 after eating. One brocha, one cup they would fill up at each brocha of Birchas Hamazon. Achad keneged Azon, the first brocha of Azon Esakel, the second brocha of Birchas Haloretz, the third brocha of Ben Yushalayim, and Vechad keneged Atev Meitiv. By each brocha they would fill up another cup of wine. So 10 cups of wine they used to give to the Avelim. Hesif aleim arba. Then they decided to add another 4, that there should be 14 cups. What did they add another 4 for? Echot kineged chazne year. One, they should give a brocha to the chazonim of the year. Who chazon doesn't mean like we. A chazon means someone who served. That's why we call a chazon a chazon. But it doesn't only mean someone who sings. A chazon year were those who served. So why those who served? So that's referring to the Hever Kedisha. See, shamsho yil isasik b'meisim. To give a brocha to the Hever Kedisha. All right. Echot kineged panse year. Then they would fill up another cup of wine to give a brocha to the wealthy of the city. Why? What does that have to do here? Because the wealthy of the city used to put up money to bury those who couldn't afford to pay for their own burial. Echot keneged Beis HaMikdash. And then they'd fill up another cup of wine to give a brocha to the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Because we are all availing for the Beis HaMikdash. See, we all mourn the Beis HaMikdash. Echad keneged Gamliel, and then a special cup of wine from Gamliel. Gemara says, so the Gemara says, what's Rim Gamliel have to do with it? The Sanya Berishena Hayisaitzos Ameis Koshely Kreiv Yesem Bimisosay, and it came to a time when a person died and he had to be buried. So the expenditures that it cost the family to bury the person sometimes was a greater tragedy to the family than his death, because they started to bury with great wealth. They would, if you go to America, you'll see this. They would buy coffins that cost thousands and thousands of dollars, and they would bury in the best material of shrouds, and they would hire fancy chariots and so forth. So it says that there came a time when the costs were a greater tragedy than the death to the family. And it came even to a point where many families would just leave the dead person at the cemetery and run away. Achibor Rav Gamliel, until Rav Gamliel came. V'noag kaleis bi'atzmai. And he decided he wanted to change it, but the people wouldn't listen. Right? They wouldn't listen. It's very difficult to get people to change. See, unfortunately, some of our simchas today are like that. So the people wouldn't listen. So what did he do? He was no kalis batzmai. When he died, Rav Gamliel was the nosi. He was the prince. When he died, he left over instructions. He says that you should bury me in a simple linen shroud, a simple casket, and finished. He says, I want no frills or anything. Nogu Kalish Biatzma. Nogu Kolaam Alach Reb Lahitzi Beklipishta. And once the nation saw that, they all followed suit. So he was the one who broke that trend. The Gemara says even, and later on they even buried in canvas, in canvas that was even the cheapest material. That's why today, when we bury here you have a very good Hever Kedisha here. You don't see this in other parts of the world. And here everyone is buried in a plain wooden box and simple shrouds. This is the halacha. This came from Gamlil. So therefore they were masaking a fourth cup of wine to make a brocha, a special brocha from Gamlil in the house of the mourners. But then the Gemara says, Yischilo ha'yesheshin mishtakrin. Later on they started to get drunk. So, Higzira adovali yeshno. So they returned it to the original 10 cups of wine. See? So there were only 10 cups of wine. And that's what the Rambam brings. Today we don't see this at all. Today it's brought. It's not because, it's just for some reason it's become lost. But it's not because it's right. This is the deen of the Gemara. There's a special benching in the house of the mourners that we don't keep today. And it was with all of the cups of wines and so forth. But this is what it was in the Gemara. From these few halachas, though, we can see what the purpose is of the Nichum Avelim. See, with the gifts they would send, and with the wine they would bring, see, and with the brochas they would give, it was to lift the spirits. Lift the spirits of the merry nefesh of those who were embittered. And this is why it was considered a gemilas chesed. It was the chesed that you did with the chayim and with the mason, but it was also a great kavod ha'mason that people would come to his house or to his family to express their anguish over his loss. An interesting halacha is, it's brought in the name of Ramesha, where they asked him the question, what would happen if the Ovel has a simcha? He's sitting Shiva, and while he's sitting Shiva, is born to him a son, or born to him a grandson. Can you give him Mazel Tov? So, I don't know if it's in his tshuvas, or I saw it written by one of his Talmidim, I don't remember, but he said, for sure, and that's how it should be, for sure. Because the whole Birchas Tanchumim is a brocha. It states Vayivorech. Kodesh Baruch Hu came and gave him a brocha. There's nothing wrong with giving brochas. It's brought merely She'ela Sholem. You're not supposed to ask, is all well with you? See, Sholem was the minig. She'ela Sholem, you ask, is all well with you? You don't go and ask a mourner who's just sitting Shiva for someone that he lost, is all well with you? See? Well, you don't say everything is well with you, because it's not. The Malach HaMoves is there. So She'ela Sholem, you're not allowed. But the whole essence of the mitzvah is to give a brocha. Vayivorech Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to bless him with tanchumim. And they used to have people that would come and say, over psukim a brocha, and to lift the spirits and to comfort him. So there would be nothing wrong if he has a simcha to give him a brocha. In the same vein, here there is a custom where they shake hands with the mourners and they say Arichas Yomim, long life. That custom actually is not a Litvish custom. It seems, I've read what it comes from England. It seems to be an English custom. Now, there are those who criticize it. Here also, there's nothing wrong with it, because you're giving the person, you're shaking hands, you're not giving him Shalom Aleichem. You're not telling him all is well or you should have peace, but you're shaking hands and you're giving him Arichas Yomim, you're giving him Birchas Tanchumim. And the way to comfort someone depends on Kol Echad Vechad, the Fiyah Matzav, the Fiyah Mokam. That it depends on what the particular custom might be. So there's nothing wrong with this. And this is from Rabbi Loy, I heard that Rabbi Kosofsky
the Abbez Din of Johannesburg, Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha, would, when he saw this custom here, he said, this is the Birkas Tanchumin. This is the way that the Mavorek Tanchumin here. And also this question was asked to Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank, Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha. Reb Tzvi Pesach Frank was the Yushlaim Rov. And he also writes the same thing. He says, what could be wrong with it? The only shaila he could see is that you're not supposed to give shalom. But he says, you're not giving shalom, you're giving birchas tanhumim. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with this. Actually, it's interesting. Both were talmidim, both Reb Tzvi Pesach and Reb Yisrael Kosofsky were talmidim of Reb Lezer Gordon. Reb Lezer tells him. The same thing that here and in other parts of the world, many times, to comfort the mourners, they kiss or they embrace. Here also, if this is a comfort to the mourner, then they're mekayim the mitzvah. They're mishtatek b'tzarei. They come to participate in the anguish. When we're speaking naturally, where the men embrace the men and the women embrace the women. But accordingly, this is birchas tanchumim. If a person is suffering, and you come and you hold his hand, or you embrace him, and you give him support, nu ein lachon nechayim agdele mizu. This is a great comfort. So this is all in line with the mitzvah. These are some of the insights that we can learn from these mitzvahs which are mentioned in this parsha. And that again are four. That from Abraham it states that he came and lifkeso, to weep, bechi, laspido, hespid, eulogy, and yikbur, vayikvor, and he buried. And then from the end of the Sedra by Yitzchok, that after Yitzchok buried Avraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to him and Vayivorech, he blessed him. What did he bless him with? With the blessing of Birchas Tanchumim to comfort the mourners.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.